Well, good morning. This is a little bit different of a sermon and of a service. For those of you who don't know, the first Sundays of each month, we're trying to have a family service where we have all the families, all the kids together in one place and enjoy a service together. And we're also like to start using those services like the one today to address topics of the family. Since everyone's together, we might as well have some teaching and some preaching on common issues of the family, things like that, what Scripture says about the family. And we're going to start by jumping into parenting. Now, typically, there's a passage that we read, and I'll pray, and we'll discuss what the passage has to say. But this morning, we're going to be a bit topical, and we'll be a bit topical for the first Sundays of every month. So we and our kids, obviously, we all know this, I think, live in a fallen world. Since the fall, since Adam and Eve chose to disobey God and sin, all sin and death and problems and health issues and murder and theft and everything else have entered the world. And the world, as we'll learn soon in Galatians, Paul calls it the present evil age that Christ came to deliver us from, the present evil age. And that present evil age is discipling us and our children into a false worldview, an unbiblical understanding of virtually every facet of life. And as a church, we need to disciple our families. We need to disciple one another in God's word. And to that end, we'll be using our family worship services to address the issues of the family. And our purpose for this parenting series is to provide a biblical vision for parenting. That's all we're doing. We're providing a biblical vision for parenting. And this series applies to us all. It applies to us all because we each have, or will be, or are parents of somebody, or an uncle, or an aunt, or a teacher, or a mentor. And all of us have been mentees and nieces and nephews and grandchildren of people who weren't technically our parents, but still had a parental influence of some kind in our life. And also, the Bible gives us, as we understand from our Membership Matters sermons, plenty of one another verses. And many of those one another commands are for us to guard one another, to encourage one another, disciple one another, love one another, and pray for one another, a bunch of one another's. And so to that end, to be faithful to those commands, we kind of understand that we must guard one another in our parenting. We must encourage one another in our parenting. We must walk alongside one another in our parenting. And this applies to people who have kids, people who are aunts and uncles, people who will have kids soon. So I say that kind of as a disclaimer so we all understand that maybe somebody's sitting out there and they think, well, I'm not having kids, or we don't have kids yet, and toop, you've turned off already. You're thinking about lunch, you're thinking about the game, whatever it is. But I want to be clear that as a church, we are to be faithful to the one another commands. And so I'm asking you all to listen to the parenting sermons so you can help me, so you can help everybody who has a child, or to be more faithful in your mentor, mentee, aunt, uncle, grandparent relationships. So let's start by seeking the Lord in prayer, and we'll begin with our topic for the morning. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the command to be fruitful and multiply. We thank you that we are being faithful to that command. We thank you for the gift that children are. We thank you for their voices and their prayers in this service this morning. May we not be distracted by them, but may we listen to them and hear them with joy and understand that each and every little voice in here is a blessing from you. And that it's sounds of life, and it's sound of a future, it's sounds of more image bearers of you. And may we be grateful for those things. We ask your blessing on this message. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing we're going to talk about regarding parenting is our children are entrusted to us by God. And basically over the next 5 weeks, maybe less, we'll be going over five foundational biblical convictions necessary for faithful parenting. That's a lot of big words right there. Five foundational biblical convictions necessary for faithful parenting. And the first one is, our children are entrusted to us by God. They're God's. Our children are God's children. And Amy read Psalm 127, 3-5, that says, "Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." So God says in his word that children are a gift. They're a reward. They're a fruit. And those who have them are blessed. Those who have them in their life are blessed. And so what we need to understand is a few things about God. If that's true, we need to understand a few things about God. And the first thing we're going to look at is, under our children are entrusted to us by God, is God is sovereign and he's wise. Amen. He's sovereign. He's in control. He's wise, wiser than us. He knows what he's doing. And his sovereignty and his wisdom has a couple implications for us in parenting. Because God is sovereign and wise, we must know him. We must know him. A proper understanding of who God is essential to a proper receptivity and responsiveness to what he says and does. If we do not know God, who is the author, the creator of parenting, who has granted us children from himself, how do we know how to parent? He's sovereign, he's wise, he's the gift giver of the children. If we do not know him, at best, our parenting's going to be off. And at worst, it'll be awful. So we must know God. If children are a gift and God is the giver of the gift, we must take great pains to consider the giver if we are to know how to best steward the gift. And J.I. Packer, he says in his book, Knowing God, "Knowing about God is crucially important for the living of our lives. The world becomes a strange, mad, painful place, and life in it a disappointing and unpleasant business for those who do not know about God. Disregard the study of God, and you sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded, with no sense of direction and no understanding of what surrounds you." That's pretty true. That's pretty true. So we must know God because he's sovereign and wise, and we must trust God. We must trust God. So we must both fear and trust God concerning our children. And the Bible, when it says fear God, it's not, you know, it's Halloween time-ish right now. It's not like you're trembling in fear from a ghost. Ooh, you're scared and you're running away. There is some really true fear in that way with God. But what we mean by fear, fearing God is expressed in the taking up of our responsibilities and hard work involved in raising children. It's a fear that he is wise, he is sovereign, he is in control, what he says is true, and the fearing of that is taking up what he says about parenting upon ourselves, being faithful to him. And trusting God is about our confidence in his promises and care, knowing that he's at work in every situation to accomplish what is good. Now, this is going to sound weird. I've only been a parent for about 20 minutes. I'm preaching for myself here in a very real sense. But to invest in our church, to invest in parenting, I want the parents to hear this. There are no out-of-control moments where God is not sovereignly at work according to his purposes. Listen, there's no out-of-control moments. They might seem like that when you're in the grocery store and the kid's laying on his back kicking and screaming because he wants the Fruity Frosted Pebbles, but you won't get him the Fruity Frosted Pebbles. I've seen it in the grocery store. I've been that kid in the grocery store. But there are no out-of-control moments where he is not sovereignly at work accomplishing his purposes. And this should give us, parents, this should give us confidence. It should give us confidence regarding how our children came to us, that they were given to us, how many were given to us, when they were given to us, their genders, their temperaments, etc. God is in control. And he gave that temper tantrum throwing kid laying on the floor of aisle 4 of Kroger to you at this time for a purpose with their temperaments because he's sovereign and he's wise. Now we know that a child's regeneration and spiritual growth, meaning a child coming to Christ, a child being born again, their spiritual growth, it does not ultimately depend on a parent doing exactly the right things. Right? Knowing that God is more concerned about the spiritual condition of our children than we are, and that no amount of sin can stop his power to save, should be a wonderful source of comfort and peace to any God-fearing parent. God is in control. He will save. He will grow spiritually. It's not ultimately on us. Amen. It's on God. Being saved, being born again, that's literally an act of God. And we can give that to him and we can trust him with it because he's sovereign and he is wise. So we must know God. We must trust God. And also, and this is very important for the future of our church, we are to understand that God delegates authority. He delegates authority. And what comes to mind probably immediately is Romans 13, where Paul writes and says, God has ordained government, princes, he's given them the sword, not in vain, but to rule. We're to respect our governments and our leaders. We're to pray for them. We're to submit to them. But God delegates authority to parents for the training of their children. Kids, there are kids in here. Raise your hand if you're a kid. Not at heart, but I mean technically. Okay. All the kids in here. Listen. God has given your parents authority over you. God has given your parents authority over you. This is a point of supreme importance. Parents, God has given you authority to train your children, and this is an assignment, and it's an equipping. God will equip you for it. He's given you his Son. He's given you his Word. He's given you the Holy Spirit in your heart to regenerate you and convict you of the truth and empower you. It's an assignment and it's an equipping. Ted Tripp, in his book Shepherding a Child's Heart, says, understanding this simple principle enables you to think clearly about your task. If you are God's agent in this task of providing essential training and instruction in the Lord, then you too, parents, are a person under authority. You and your child are in the same boat. You are both under God's authority. You have differing roles, but the same master. You are both under God's authority. God has delegated you authority to have authority over your children and kids. Your parents have God-given authority over you. So when they are exercising that authority, when they're telling you what to do and not what to do, understand they have God behind them. God has their back. And if you love God, you respect God, and you want to do what God says is right, the Bible simply says to you, honor your father and your mother. It's that simple for children. There's a lot of commands in the Bible. A lot of them can wait until you're older. But at least you must start with honor your parents. And they're going to guide you. And this authority that God delegates to parents, Scripture says it principally rests on fathers. And there's no way around this. Our culture wants to say that genders are the same. We have the same roles. We have the same calling. We have the same strength. You can be whatever gender you want. But Scripture says that the principal actor that holds the principal authority in the home over the children is the fathers. Fathers, Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not exacerbate your children. It doesn't say parents. It doesn't say mom. It says fathers, do not exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And with Scripture's emphasis on fathers, on husbands, there's a few applications we can take away from this. And luckily, I don't have to do this yet. Because Jonah's only like 3 months old. But it's coming for me. So applications for husbands and fathers. Fathers, with the help of your wife. With the help of your wife. Evaluate your involvement with your children in the following areas. initiating time with the children regularly. Sometimes I'm already sitting, I come home from work and I'm sitting on the couch, and all I want to do is sit on the couch, and I whip out my phone and I check some things on my phone because I'm addicted to it, and my little son's just sitting in the swinging chair looking at me as if like, "Dad, I'm right here." I go, "Are you going to do anything with me or what? I've been waiting for you all day long." He's still young, but I feel the guilt of his nonverbal judgmental looks. So initiating time with the children regularly, showing affection and communicating encouragement, communicating with the children spontaneously, training the children spiritually on a consistent basis, taking primary responsibility for discipline, praying with the children and training them to pray, leading in praying for the children, demonstrating by example your love for Jesus, the Bible, and the church, initiating ongoing evaluation of your marriage and home life. These are all practical applications for husbands and fathers to do with the help of their wife to evaluate their involvement with their own children. And it's pretty simple, really. It's kind of a long list, but it's with your wife, say, "Hey, how am I doing? How's the state of the children? Are they spiritually fed? Are they praying? Am I leading in praying? Am I leading in discipline? How can I communicate with them spontaneously? Am I being affectionate and communicating encouragement ever or seldomly?" These are ways to just constantly evaluate our lives as fathers with the help of your wife. She knows, men. She knows if you're doing these things. So as a quick summary of what we've seen so far, we have every reason to be expectant that God is going to work through us in the lives of our children. He is the one who has made these children. He is the one who very intentionally put them with us. The family structure is what God created himself. He has promised to make of this a blessing, and all the more if we work consciously and prayerfully with him. Amen. So it's also a calling. Being a parent is a calling. God entrusting our children to us is a calling. So hear this. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, a parent's responsibility is to train their children and to be the primary influence in their life." To be the primary influence in their life. Do not delegate this. Don't delegate it. Don't drive by the church and kick your kids out of the van and think we're going to take them in and we're going to train them all up in the Lord. That's the parent's authority. Don't send your kids to school and sports in school and send them to 8 hours a day in the school and give them 20 minutes a week in the church and think that Pastor Doug and Pastor Bill and Linda and Grace and all the people who teach here are going to be the ones that train your children up in the Lord. Christ, God did not give anybody but you, parents, the primary authority and responsibility to train your children up in the Lord. It can't be outsourced. It must not be outsourced, and we ought not, as a church, encourage the outsourcing to us. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Ephesians 6:4 again says, "Fathers, don't exacerbate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." So daily, in a variety of settings, our children will come to us in need of comfort, in need of encouragement, in need of counsel and reassurance. And daily, we offer guidance, warning, correction, support, nurture, healing, and sustenance for their souls. And daily, as we carefully and patiently provide these things, we are training our children, we're shaping their view of God, and we're shaping their view of life. Now, once children are adults, the work of child rearing's done. Of child rearing. You're still a parent, but your child rearing is done. Parents, therefore, and I've heard this said amongst people in the church recently, actually, we have what might be called a fleeting opportunity to fulfill the scriptural mandate. to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, there are seasons of a parent's life where they have a two-year-old or they have a teenager, and it seems that that day will never end. Anybody had those days? Anybody having them now? Later, when you have time for reflection, those seasons of opportunity will seem like a moment. And I know somebody sitting here saying, Doug, Jonah's 3 months old. What do you even know? But I know from watching people, and I know what the Word of God says, and I can preach it, I can teach it, though I'm only got my toe in the water right now. So let us be faithful to our call with the time that we have. Now, only God's grace can change a child's heart. Rest assured in that. Only God's grace can change a child's heart. But He involves us as parents to be the primary means of that grace. Parents, you are the primary means of grace to your children. You're the primary example of faithfulness and godliness, and you're the primary example of what a Christian is. You're the primary intermediary. You're the primary means through which God pours grace into your children's lives. Or J.C. Ryle says in The Duty of Parents, I know that you cannot convert your child. I know well that they who are born again are born not of the will of man, but of God. But I know also that God says expressly, train up a child in the way he should go, and that he never laid a command on a man which he would not give grace to perform. And I know, too, that our duty is not to stand still and dispute, but to go forward and obey. And it is just in the going forward that God will meet us. The path of obedience is the way in which he gives blessing. So, we have every reason to expect that God is going to work through us in our children's lives. He made the children. He put them with us. He established everything. And we ought not to transfer the authority and the responsibility and the privilege to parent our children to anybody else, any institution, even our church. It's the parent's primary responsibility. According to Psalm 127, children are a gift. They're a reward. They're a blessing. However, this blessing is not the only reason for parenting. The primary thing is God's purpose of salvation with reference to our children. We are agents in our children's salvation. We're agents in their salvation. That God also makes parenting such a blessing on top of that is just a reflection of his goodness. So, church, by way of application of all this, as a church, all of us here together, when discipling our children, it must be done in conjunction with their parents. That's why in our children's ministries, they get take-home sheets. And they get summaries of what we're doing in Sunday school so that their parents are equipped to go home, read it with them around the kitchen table, know what they're doing, so the kids see that the teaching from their Sunday school teacher has the authority from the parents. Parents are not to transfer their responsibility to train their children even to the church, and the church is not to usurp the parents' responsibility and authority to train the children. We, the church, are to equip the parents. We, the church, are to encourage and pray for the parents. We're to help the parents. We aren't to take their kids away and train them. We are to train the parents. We're to equip the parents. Also, we are to guard marriages. We must guard marriages. We must guard marriage by counseling against unequally yoked marriage. Now, all of these responsibilities and authorities given to the parents to equip the children, all of the hurdles and the struggles and the challenges that any parent will have in their life, school, sports, dating, illnesses, injuries, how do we prioritize our time? Is it football or is it church? Is it school or is it church? Is it vacations or is it church? Whatever it is, how we prioritize our time, everything is going to be made much harder if you have a believer and an unbeliever married. Scripture says that unequally yoked marriages are wrong. It will be an immense challenge for an unequally yoked couple to raise children biblically. And one of the purposes in marriage is to produce godly offspring. Malachi 2:15 says, "Did he not make them one," regarding to marriage, "with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring." See, God uses parents and the parental authority to the children to work towards their salvation. And when one of the parents isn't saved, that's going to be hard. It may be nearly impossible, but with God, all things are possible, and that you can pray for your spouse and live a good Christian life, and the Lord promises that people will be saved through that, unbelieving spouses will be saved through that. There are testimonies in this church of that very thing happening. But this means that our church needs to offer premarital counseling and that couples should do premarital counseling. It means couples should invite older married couples to speak into their lives prior to marriage and spend time with older married Christian couples during the dating period. God's plan to produce godly children is through equally yoked Christian parents. But listen, don't be discouraged if you have an unequally yoked marriage, because God's grace is boundless. His grace is boundless. And he does promise unbelieving spouses may be saved through your prayer and your faithful living according to the gospel. For parents and children, God's grace enables us to bear good fruit in parenting and in being children to our parents. In Ephesians 2, it tells us that believers are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Think about that. God has foreknown you. He has called you. He's created you in this life and this time with these kids that you have now, with their temperaments, sitting in this church on October 6, 2024, and he has prepared works for you beforehand, before you were born, before you were saved. He's prepared works that you should walk in them. And one of the good works prepared for us by God is parenting. And also, kids, it's honoring your parents. One of the good works prepared for children is to honor their parents. Ephesians 6, 1-4 says, "Children, kids, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you." Why should you honor your father and mother? So it goes well with you. And by going well, I don't mean this Christmas the tree is stacked with presents underneath of it. I mean your life is healthy and fruitful and God-honoring. Ephesians also tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. We are to stop lying. We are to put on truth. Instead of anger, put on peace. Instead of stealing, be generous. Instead of gossiping, encourage. Instead of revenge, forgive. So parents, let us always evaluate and examine ourselves before the Lord. Let us always examine our parenting. Does our parenting show the fruit of the Spirit? Does our parenting show generosity, peace, encouragement, forgiveness? Does your parenting exacerbate your kids or train up your kids? What do your lifestyle choices teach your kids? When we blow up in anger at our kids unrighteously, do we ever apologize? Do we ever seek forgiveness from our kids? That's weird, isn't it? Well, Pastor Doug, you just said that I have authority from God to train my kids, and you want me to go apologize to them? Yes. Yes, you can blow up in anger at your kids, and just because you're the adult and you say so, there's no category for that in the Bible. You can sin against your children by having no self-control. You can sin against your children through neglect and passivity, and you should apologize to them and seek forgiveness from them when you do so. They will learn from that more than anything. They'll learn from that more than anything. When we are mad at work or other life situations, do we cuss and vent and complain about it in front of them? Or are we quick to pray in front of them? They will mimic us. My mom told me when I was a young boy, everything you do and say, your brothers are going to do and say. And I blew it off until I was like 25 years old, and I looked back and said, that was true. Much more so with our parents. Do we disciple them to keep church a priority in our lives? Or are we absent from church often or choose other activities over church? The patterns that we set for our children now from a place of God-given authority and the examples that we set for our children now in a place of God-given authority, they will follow. I read in an article this week that if we constantly choose X, Y, or Z over church throughout our children's whole lives, when they grow up and they get older and they move out of the house and they go to college, church is nothing. It's totally optional. They've been discipled that church is totally optional. If football comes up, football gets it. If soccer comes up, soccer gets it. If vacations come up, vacation gets it. If whatever it is, it's not just sports, brothers and sisters. It can be anything. The new Harry Potter movie came out, and it's on opening day as a Sunday. We're going. And we're going to the first one, and we're not going to church. And whatever it is, if I wake up in the morning and I have a snotty nose, I'm not going to church. Whatever the trivial reasons might be, our children will see that. And that's going to be the pattern that they follow. And children, I hardly ever seem to preach for children, give applications for children. But hear me when I say this, kids, anybody under the age of 18 that's in here, you also examine yourselves. You also examine yourselves. Do you honor, obey, and love your parents? Do you honor and obey and love your parents? Or does your heart bring out disobedience and temper tantrums and lying and selfishness, exploitation, and picking on your siblings? Believing in Jesus includes repentance. And repentance means stop doing wrong and do what God says is right. And your behavior shows if you're truly believing in Jesus. God asks one thing as a child, to simply honor, which means to listen to and obey your parents. And for all of us here, the only hope for us to be obedient to God and our parents, if you're a child, to escape hell and to go to heaven, to have eternal life, is to stop doing wrong and turn to worship and believe in Christ alone, instead of demanding our heart's desires. So I ask that we all do this. It seems at like an eighth grader's level this morning, eighth grade reading level, maybe eighth grade reading lessons, because I'm trying to bridge the gap between adult and kids. But we must all, in our parenting, but in every area of our lives, examine and re-examine, and understand that if our life upon our examination, even if we're children, is constant selfishness, constant I want what my siblings have, constant anger and constant division and constant sin, we must pursue being faithful to the Lord through repentance and faith in Him. So turn to God now, each and every one of us. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Believe on Jesus Christ and accept the new life, the eternal life that He offers us all for free, and without which our parenting will be an immense burden. An immense burden. And without which being obedient and honoring our parents will be an immense burden. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You have given Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You have given the only perfect, sinless man, Your own Son, so that we and all of our children may have eternal life as a free gift. We ask that You bless each of our families, bless our parenting, revive our parenting like it's never been revived before. Pour Your Holy Spirit into every single one of our lives and bring fruit and raising up our next generation. And for the children, we ask that they are all saved, each and every one of them, that You call them and bring them to Yourself, that they produce extremely good fruit in their lives, and they obey and love their parents. In Jesus' name, amen.